Welcome to the WJBM Outdoor Show, brought to you by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. We're coming to you from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple: kill big deer, and I help buyers and sellers as an agent with land and home real estate. Today, we have our most popular guest, a guy that is just kind of an international superstar, world champion of the world, in fact, Mr. Cole Foyles.
What's going on, man?
It's good to see you.
I'm back.
He's back. I love it. So the man with the steel trap for a mind, I'm going to go back to a conversation that we had, and you said to me with a big smile, I already know the first thing I'm talking about when I come back on the show with turkey season.
You ready for it? I know what it was.
Lay it on me.
On the last show we did, we were doing some preseason turkey talk.
Yeah.
And I said, I think I'm going to stick around home this year. You know, I don't think I'm going to go to Michigan or Missouri or whatever. I lied. When you got a fourth season and 2 5th season tags, you got to go somewhere. So, yeah, I went to Michigan. Couldn't hold off and had a great hunt up there.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was before I went up there, I got to hunt the first couple weeks here. And then I went up there before my tags come in Illinois. And, man, it was good. Good as always up there. I mean, there's so many birds up there. But if I had any luck at all, I'd have been done the first day. I had a couple hen-up birds just out of range out in the field that morning. They circled, hit me wide, went in the woods. I knew the farm. I've hunted up there so many times, so got to get around them. So went way across the way around, got in the woods. There's some swamp ground. Went over my boots, got soaked, whatever.
Yeah.
Made a call. They ain't going to cross water, so you got to get across it. So I crossed there, made a call. Bam, they hammered. So time to sit down, get ready. Well, I wanted to get to the top of this hill in the timber, but there was no way. They were already there. So because more rule of thumb, you call them up to you than down, which I've called them down to me. So I sat down. Close as I could get, whatever. And it's open, and you grew up in Michigan. You know how open your guys' timber are.
Yeah.
You know, versus ours, where we got honeysuckle and everything else. Mm-hmm. Beautiful timber up there. Out of all this open timber, they come in one thick spot.
Yeah.
And it was kind of one of them deals. They've done what they're going to do. It's time to go. I went kapow, and one flew off. I get up. I'm like, well, let's go get him. No bird. So I start looking around. You know, now you're thinking you might have wounded one off, crippled one off, whatever, you want to finish the job. No bird, nothing. So I backtracked. I'm like, I guess I missed. I don't know. I don't know how many pellets go in a turkey load, a 3-inch 5, but
yeah,
all but maybe one or two were in a sapling right where his head was.
Oh.
So I shot a tree the first day, whatever. Hey, it was still a good hunt. Second day, I got on some mid-morning birds. All of a sudden they dropped fan, took off flying, running, you name it, like you shot at them 10 times. What in the world? Here come a coyote. Coyote ran across the field. Well, he spoiled my hunt, so I ruined his. So I went ahead and took care of him.
Yeah.
And then the third morning I went back and hunted those birds and had an awesome right off the roost hunt. My buddy Matt up there was with me.
Yeah.
We ended up doubling. It was sweet. It was sweet. It was one of those mornings you thought, if it can go wrong, it will. Woke up, winds howling 30 mile an hour, you know, it's spitting rain, whatever. We got on a little field edge, and I put a strutter and a breeder hen and a feeder hen out probably. Well, I can tell you it was 13 steps.
All right.
And, well, two birds were roosted. Not quite. They were a little farther than I thought, and some hens were talking above. Well, there was another gobbler with that hen, and they pitched down, and they started going to her. And I, for that early in the morning, I called 10 times aggressive than I ever have in the morning. I was running my slate, diaphragm, like two hens just tearing it up. You know, like last year, I was talking about that late morning bird I killed. what I was talking about, the tea party deal. Just have your own little party, you know, sound like. So I went on with that, and that one finally peeked up and saw them decoys, seen what the ruckus was, and here they come running.
Nice.
Yeah, they come running right in. We counted to three, and ba-boom. Took care of them. It was awesome.
There's nothing like a turkey commitment.
It's awesome. I'm going to give a little tip here real quick with decoys if you're hunting fields or whatever. When I hunt timber, I don't use decoys, but fields, I'm going to put something out. I ran that strutter and a couple hens pretty religiously this year. This is just a movement tip. If you don't have your gun up when they're coming in, and they come, let them, just be patient. If they don't look like they're going nowhere, let them come to the decoys. And when them turkeys go behind the fan of that strutter decoy, their vision's blocked. So when they're blocked, get your gun up. And that's what I did. They were so keyed in on us, I couldn't make a move. I wasn't going to screw this up. Yeah, it was windy. I probably could have got away with it, but I wasn't going to do anything to screw this up.
Yeah.
So here they come running in. They puff up, went behind the fan of that strutter decoy, got the gun up, counted to three, ba-boom. Took care of business. Yep.
That's awesome.
That's a little tip you guys can put in your back pocket if you ever get pinned out on a bird that snuck in on you or whatever. So
I like that. That's good.
But yeah, no, so that was a good hunt. And then I was lucky enough to shoot my three in Illinois this year, and then I called several in for people. It was another phenomenal season, man.
So where would you rank this season amongst?
I don't even know, man. You know, it needs to rank high because not very often do you get a bird off the roost. I mean, you do, but roosted, like they say, roosting ain't always roasted, you know?
Right.
And I'm trying to remember here, but I'm pretty sure out of the 10 birds I was on, I think six of them are right off the roost this year.
Wow.
So that's just like how we were talking on our preseason. That's scouting, doing your homework, what kind of layout you're going to be hunting in, what you think that bird's doing, and just putting it to work. And, man, and it's always – I mean, I'll take luck any day.
Right. Well, it's not luck, man. But, there's no way. Who's putting in the work you are?
What's that? Yeah.
Who's putting in the work you are?
I scout, man. Scout, listen to turkeys, scout, pinpoint them. You mark them on that Onyx, do whatever you got to do, you know. But just even on a bad day of hunting and you're hunting a farm, you know, you got to try and strike one. Take it all in, walk around and see. Well, that'd be a good – if a bird was here, you could sneak through here without getting seen or heard, you know. You know, just, I don't know. Like you said, I got an iron memory, so I try to just take it all in.
Right, but you – so I think maybe it's training the dogs.
Yeah.
You know how, like, as soon as you hold a tennis ball, a dog's locked. Like, that's all that matters in the world.
Yeah.
It's like your mentality is just no distraction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the preparation side, it's crazy. I don't know anybody that prepares more than you do.
I mean, it's my favorite thing to hunt in the world. I wish seasons lasted longer, so I take it. I try to do as much as possible to be successful, you know.
Yeah, but like,
I appreciate it. I love it.
Yeah, well, I mean,
and that's part of it too. Just the passion and the love of turkey hunting. You know, I'm gonna do the best possible work and have the best possible chance I can have. You know, but no, this year's got to rank up there.
Oh,
that's for sure. That's that first bird I shot in Illinois was real similar to that double in Michigan this year.
Okay.
Same deal. I set up on a farm in the river bottoms it was actually right there where we used to snow goose hunt.
Oh, okay, yeah.
There was a bird there. Anyway, there was him and another one, and I thought I was going to get the left one, hunting a field edge, strutter, two hens.
Yeah.
And the one on the right, he flew down as quiet as one can get. I didn't even catch him out of the corner of my eye. He was gobbling nothing. I just kind of looked over, and there he is out in the field. I was like, dang. And he's just, you know, he's looking at the decoys, but you feel like he's looking through your soul.
Right, right.
So I made a couple little soft calls, and he cut me off, and here he come. And same thing, and there was no wind that day. I'm not going to move. So here he comes in, and as soon as he walked behind that fan of that strutter decoy, it was get the gun up, and I let him puff up and put a little show on, and bam, got him too. So, I mean, it was like the same script as the first ones.
One of the things I learned, I think, one of my, I guess, my biggest takeaways this year, when a turkey's coming in, so many times, and you just said it, in the peripheral, mm-hmm. where they come in and you just don't see it.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, like, you're behind somebody, you've been calling, mm-hmm. where they're locked on where they think this turkey's going to come from. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you see it go out the back door and it's like, it's over.
Uh-huh. And turkeys, I got another turkey story for one I called in this year. And it's just like when you learn to bow hunt. If it can go wrong, it will. So just think of every possibility and where I'm going to go with this. You might have the most beautiful road in the world for them to come in. And a lot of times they're going to take that logging road or whatever. But don't be surprised if he don't come up through the brush, because he's leery as it is. Like, we had the last bird I was in on this year, I called in. It was actually in Greene County. My buddy had our buddy Ringer, Austin Ringhausen. Yeah. I ruined him. I took him turkey hunting for his first time this year. Two birds, two hunts. He's ruined for life. But anyway, this was his second bird. So finally got a bird to gobble. We get on a field edge, and he's gobbling in the timber a little ways. And I'm looking at that field edge, and there's fence slot. There's like an old fence. Everything's grew up in May, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, he is not going to ever pop through that. Let's get in the woods. So we got in the woods, called. He's like the next holler over. So we got up top. We get up top, and it's just like a couple logging roads or open areas, I guess. They weren't really roads. And then there's a thick brushy spot in the center. And I'm like, you sit here. I'm going to sit back 10, 15 yards. And, he's probably going to come down one of these openings, but don't be surprised if he doesn't try to sneak up through that brush. I don't know what's on the other side of that.
Right.
So we sat down, and he got the witness a true timber hunt. You don't see him, but you hear him getting closer. And that bird, I could hear him drumming, and it was just one of them things. I'm like, he is right here. He is testing my patience and testing what's here. So instead of calling, I just started scratching leaves real soft. Remember, I'm 15 yards behind him.
Yeah.
So I just started scratching a little, and that's all it took. He gobbled once more. And there's another little tool for you guys. Scratch leaves if you need to. And here he come up. He didn't come through the left opening. He didn't come through the right. He come through the thickest honeysuckle you ever seen. And he shot him through that brush. I mean, he wasn't 20 yards, but you could just barely make a head out, you know. Turkeys are sneaky, man.
Oh, man. They are. They are. And then the later you get into the season, the thicker that brush is.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and that's what I hunt a lot of late season. So that's all, you just get used to it. It's good cover, good sneak ground, but it can make it tough.
Yeah.
The worst is when you got one right there, you can't make a move, and you pick a tree to sit down, and the weeds are this tall, and you sit down, and then the weeds are up here above you. You're like, what am I going to do?
Right.
I've shot a lot of turkeys where all you've seen is a head, you know, coming through those weeds or brush or whatever. You know, there's so much plume, you know, foliage by then. But yeah, man, I mean, it was cool. Killed them in about every weather there was too. Like I said, the rain and wind up there. I'll go ahead and tell another Ringer story. His first turkey, I had a bird scouted that I just knew was going to be game over. There is nothing that's not going to be, that this ain't going to happen. So we got in there. Not a gobble, nothing. So finally we made a move, seen a couple birds, got set up, come close. If he bird just needed to make one step, he'd have had him, and of course he didn't do it. And it was just one of those things. Usually I'd have hung in there. I thought, let's just back out of here, because there wasn't really nowhere to go, and that were like for us without getting busted. So we slid out, went to another piece. Let me remind you, it's 10:30 now. We haven't heard a gobble, but we've had the safety off once. So we go to the spot. I had scouted another bird, put a couple decoys out on this edge, and sat in the timber. And another tip, windy days. We don't use them a lot, but break out that box call on a windy day.
Oh, yeah.
They get a lot of range. Or if you got the right slate that rips through that wind, cuts that wind, you hit that. But I was hammering the box call. You don't get to kill a lot of turkeys with a box call, so it's so cool. And about that time, I heard Ringer tapping on a side of his tree. I look over, And that, he didn't gobble, but that here he comes. That bird ran in and chested up to the decoy, and I got about whenever you – and pow, he killed it. He got his first turkey, so that was cool. That was cool.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, Ringer's walking around with a pep in his step.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's – it's like I've told a lot of them, when it goes that easy, it's not always this easy. You're due for some licks now.
Well, man, you know, the more you take, the more I think you probably learn.
Yeah. But
I tell you, over the years watching, and I said the same thing to Ethan, watching you guys, like, just get more and more and more efficient has been probably one of my favorite parts about turkey season.
Absolutely.
You know, over the years, watching my friends just get
and turkeys, ruthless. Man, and turkeys, man, how turkey hunting goes, as good as it makes you feel with all the success, I just try to stay humble. The second you walk around with that big head, that's when you can't kill one for 2 weeks, and you wonder where did you go wrong. Yeah. So just stay humble, remember what you're hunting, and just do your homework, you know. Remember something that worked in the past, and know the layout. I'll tell you what was really cool this year too. The last couple of years, you know, Ethan's pretty similar. He got to do it for the first time, I think, with Dave this year, and the last couple of years, you know. You know, you grow up, your dad calls your turkeys in, whatever, and sitting back, and I got to call two in for my dad this year. One was opening day, nice. Turkey season, just me and him, right off the roost, little hunt. Called the nice long beard, and he killed it. And then the next day was him and our good buddy Ed. They both had tags, and got to call a double in for them.
Nice.
Uh-huh. So that was cool. I wish I'd have been filming for that. I was 15 yards back, looking over their shoulders, and turkeys come right in. It was beautiful. Beautiful. Like I said, off the roost, too. There's nothing better than tagging out early and go to Campsville or somewhere and get a little breakfast.
Have you had the Legion breakfast yet up there?
That might be my favorite.
Did you have the sandwich?
Oh, yeah.
The Monarch River special?
Yeah, I've had number 1 through 15. I'm a regular in there.
All right.
But... yeah, man. Trying to think of more turkeys. I know there's more. It was a good year, dude.
Well, when we were in here with the Baileys, Dave was like, your name got brought up, and he's like, man, that guy had a good season.
I listened to their episode. That was a good one. That was a good one. Oh, I know the one I was going to bring up. Got that other turkey got. I got to do something you don't normally do. We talk about that thunderstruck gobble call we made, killed a couple last year with. Had a bird this year. He pitched out the opposite side to where I was hunting. There was a slough there. Anyway, so I've got around the slough and I peeked around the corner of the field, and he's already out there. He was in the exact same spot I shot a bird the day before. All I had to do is go to the same tree. I didn't, you know. Right. Why would you?
I know.
Anyway, so I crawled the strutter out. Now, I didn't reap, but I got the strutter out. He didn't really do much, just went back to pecking. And I crawled back in the woods, and I hit that gobble call. And when I hit that gobble call, he cut me off. And I hit it one more time, and it was like, oh, crap. He's drumming right there, and I got my gun. I had like a softball size hole through the brush and a basketball size. I was like, I'm gonna wait for that basketball size hole, and he walked in there and pow. So that was cool.
That's awesome.
That was really cool.
Speaking of the thunderstruck, I might have called you. I don't have the memory you do. I might have called you about this. Had a guy on here. He's Moose and Kyle's good buddy.
Okay.
Levi Carlock.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
He's running around there with the gobble call, locating him at night.
At night? You know, I heard you say that on another podcast or a radio show. And, you know, I never really gave that much thought. But you know, turkeys can be so hard to put to bed. It seemed like back in the day it used to be so easy to put one to bed. Now you might not hear a gobble. Guys will hit coyote calls. They'll hit hoot owl. I hit a hoot owl a lot. I love my hoot owl calls.
Yeah.
But I never really thought of that gobble, because that turkey, you know, in a sense, I'm not saying that's what they think, but it's a good theory. you know, it's like, okay, he gobbled, it's safe for me to let one out, you know.
Yeah.
And I've seen that a lot. One finally got gobbled in the limb, and then three more across the ridge gobbled, and you're like, well, we're loaded for tomorrow, you know.
Yeah, and I
great,
know.
Great idea.
Well, you're always worried about, like, safety. Like,
yeah.
Having somebody out in the woods, yeah. Whether it be public ground or whatever.
Yeah.
States where you maybe hunt all day, mm-hmm. you know, that's a consideration. But,
yeah.
you know, if you're locating.
Yeah.
In Illinois.
Especially.
Nobody
yeah.
should be shooting.
Yeah, not at that point.
Right.
No, that's a really good idea, and I'll probably try that next year
yeah.
if I go to try to put one to bed one night. Heck yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we're going to take a break real quick and hear a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the WJBM Outdoor Show, brought to you by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. We're coming to you from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple, kill big deer, and I help buyers and sellers as an agent with land and home real estate. For those of you just joining, call foils, and we've been doing that turkey talk.
Mm-hmm. That postseason telling turkey stories. I'm ready for next spring.
Yes. It's, I mean,
I'm getting worked up here talking about it. Just reliving the memories, you know.
Until the waterfowl get here, it's yeah. still turkey season. Yeah. Probably your favorite
yeah.
season.
Oh, yeah. They got me year round.
all right. So you had a particular hunt. Where you killed some nice gobblers this year, but one stood above
the biggest one of the
yes.
year, and it was my last bird. I had a fifth season tag, which I always at least get one every year. Anyway, I was hunting some ground that was flooded out early in the year, or I was getting ready to, I should say, where I'm gonna start this. And the water went down. It was one of them deals, you needed to wear hip boots, but it's going down and the high spots are dry. So I waded in the day before and just scouting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's only like one way into this timber and one way out. So I go in, nothing's gobbling. I made a call and he gobbles. Well, he is exactly where I need to walk out, because usually I get him pinpointed, I'm out of there. So I'm like, how am I going to do this? So I called one more time, and he's getting closer to me. So I eased out, went around. So as he was coming to where I was going, I eased out and got out of there. I was like, well, I know where I'm going tomorrow.
You just described my typical hunt.
yeah. This is a scouting mission. So the next morning, I got him figured out where he's at, whatever. So I get in there at like 4:30, I mean early, tiptoe in there, quiet as possible. And the day before, he would have been where I sat at this tree in front of me, so I'm figuring he's there. I got one hen decoy out to my right, out on this road, and this road ain't 10 yards wide.
All right.
And finally, it's like good in daylight, and I ain't heard a gobble. So I go to let out a little tree yelp, and he hammers, and he is 40, 50 yards to my left in a tree. I walked under his limb in the dark, but that's why I could get there early. So anyway, I'm like, I ain't saying no more. So I sat there a little bit, and finally it's like, did he see me? Does he know something ain't right? Whatever. And I made maybe a half a note. He gobbled again, and I hear the wings pitch out of the tree. Well, picture like this little road and these timber. It looked like he was flying down a tunnel. What it reminded me of was goose hunting, like a honker coming into your decoy spread. he come in, and when he lit right next to that hen decoy, and I got my gun ready, but he's to my right. I'm right-handed, so you're always kind of pointing a little left. So he kind of strutted around and got straight in front of me. I raised up. He let out one putt, like, uh-oh, and pow, killed him about 8 steps. If somebody in that area heard a little girl screaming that morning, that was me, because I was fired up. But, yeah, that bird had – he had 11.5-inch beard, and I think we measured the thickness. It was a true paintbrush, you know. It was like 3 inches wide. Nice. And he had 1.625 spurs. I mean, daggers. So, and man, for what surprised me this year is the late season birds. How heavy they were! Usually by fourth and fifth, they might be in the teens on pounds, or maybe just 20 tops. But they were 22, 23, 24 pounds this year. It was crazy. They were eating good in the neighborhood. That's for
sure. I guess so. I wonder what caused that. I wonder what was out there.
Usually the reason they're so skinny by that time, they've been chasing hens and everything else. But I don't know. I don't know. Every one of them, if you ever look at the tips of their wing feathers, if they're missing them tips, they've been strutting. Every one of them's just beat down. So they've been hanging out. But yeah, they were good, big, healthy birds. We actually ate one of them last night.
Nice. I had turkey last night, too.
Did you?
Yeah.
Best meal. One of the best meals ever.
I was
probably my favorite wild game meal.
I was being real simple. I usually like to grill it.
Yeah. Did you fry it?
And have turkey nuggets? Stick of butter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I roll it in that Andy's fish fry batter, the yellow. Okay. If you want spicier, you get red. But I like the yellow. And gosh, them nuggets are so good.
Okay.
Uh-huh. They, down south, that's a big thing. It ain't really a marinade, but you soak it the night before. They do pickle juice. I've tried that. It's pretty good.
Okay.
It's pretty good. But, I just like making those turkey nuggets fry above. Can't beat it.
That's the best meat in the woods.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad the turkey hunting was. I got all these turkey breasts this year because I didn't find hardly nothing for mushrooms this year.
It seemed like the river bottoms where it was at.
Yeah. And I think when we were still, or like about time your last couple snow goose hunts and picking up, I think that was when people were really starting to find them.
I know.
Might be the earliest ever. But
there's like a.
I found a few, but nothing like normal.
So not to get all weird or anything, but there's a super El Nino brewing.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with, about El Nino, La Nina, the weather patterns?
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently there's a super El Nino brewing.
Oh, boy.
Which might be responsible for some of the storms we've had this year.
Yeah.
I don't know
been
if,
pretty
like,
wet.
Right. Like, I don't know if it affects us now.
Mm-hmm.
If it was affecting us,
because
I think some of the patterns might have started in the spring.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we're supposed to be getting towards the end of, like, tornado season here, the end of July. But I don't know if that, like, has – and it has an impact on snowfall.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know if it has an impact on, like, the snowfall that just happened. Because being a snowboarder, Tahoe, I think, had a pretty epic end of their season.
Uh-huh.
Like, nobody had snow all year. And then at the end of season, Tahoe is getting pounded with crazy storms, like several feet at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that happens during El Nino, but I don't know if the back end is when it's really supposed to happen. So maybe Tahoe gets 2 years in a row to bring that back to turkey hunting, like... It's been different.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that was...
It might have been.
Like the weather patterns, did you notice anything different with the turkey season?
It seemed like a colder turkey season for 3/4 of it.
Yeah.
I wore a hoodie several days, but when usually I got that a lightweight shirt and pants on by then. I did notice that. A lot more windy days. Felt like you were hunting Kansas a lot.
It
was real windy. And, fifth season. That morning I'm talking about, that was a fifth season bird. I was bundled up.
right. And there were some decent turkey hunting days during the wind, too, this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like I said, 3 or 4 of those stories we told, that was really windy days. That was really windy days. And that might lay them down, turn their temperature off, as the turkeys, I'm saying, or they won't gobble as much. But well, then again, you know, they're there. They're there somewhere.
Right.
Stick and stay, make them pay.
Right. I like that.
That's right. That's right. I don't know much about weather patterns, Aaron, but you were talking about snow earlier. I wish it would snow right now. It's been so hot. I'm just going to go ahead and say the old coal foils.
Please.
Slogan, you know it's hot outside when you go outside and it's hot. I've been trying to figure out this whole thing, how to sneak that in there. Because it's hot.
Been sweltering.
Yeah.
Sweltering. All right. Well, that being said, let's move out of turkeys a little bit.
Yeah.
I was talking to you earlier today on the phone, and I'm like, so what do you got going later? And man, you got a busy one coming up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it seems like this is almost one of the busiest times of year for you.
Yeah. Everybody thinks in the hunting world, summer, you slow down. But no, I feel like I get busier every year. You know, several things. You know, getting ready for duck season, brushing blinds, all that, training dogs, getting those ready. I got a few of them going right now. Mm-hmm. And mine, keeping them tuned up. And on top of that, with the call business, we're getting dealers' orders out and everything else, but we got a lot of trade shows coming up. And actually, this Friday, Saturday, we'll be down here by Cabela's, St. Louis area. We'll be there at Dive Bomb Industries for their Squad Fest show.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to get set up tomorrow and Friday, Saturday. It's going to be a madhouse. That's probably the number one show of the year for us anymore.
Really?
Uh-huh. A lot of waterfowlers, and it's cool how many of the locals around this area you get to see that show up to that thing too.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. I've been seeing phenomenal job on social media, by the way.
Yeah, I'm posting Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. You gotta let everybody know you're alive, you know. And we got a lot of cool stuff that's came out. New colors, what products, whatever.
Talk to me. So these Dive Bomb calls, you've mm-hmm. got Squad Fest calls that
yeah,
you're going to be selling there this
we
weekend.
Do a limited edition. The first year, you know, we did like a dozen.
Yeah.
You know, we did a couple dozen. I got 50 this year.
Okay.
And that's, we got them anywhere in the range of our polycarbonates that are $50 to $200 in our acrylics, you know. And I got some where you can buy some cool match sets, duck and goose calls right now, same colors, you know, whatever. But
all right.
Yeah, it's cool, man. We got the Dive Bomb logo and the Dive Bomb Squad Fest 2026. And got all kinds of geese locked up around them coming in, or ducks on the duck calls, and they turned out slick.
Dude, they look slick.
I got straight meat mallards, straight meat honkers, Drake breaks, which is my favorite, and the duck call lineup, and then we got meat grinders too. Oh,
okay.
And there's only a half dozen, but if you like going old school, we got some cool color combos and the flutes, the meat cutter flutes. So if you want that big goose, you got, instead of your short reeds, we got the big flute calls too.
Okay. All right. So that's Saturday and Sunday?
That's a Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday. Okay. Which is cool too. Gives you a chance to pick up, get out of there, and enjoy your Sunday.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah.
But yeah, it starts at noon on Friday, goes to like 8 o'clock at night, and then it's 9 to 5 on Saturday.
All right. So when this airs, if you're looking for something to do,
yeah,
you can still make it.
Yeah. We're not that far. We're less than an hour. Head over there, and not just us is going to be there. I mean, decoy companies, outfitters, other dog trainers, more calls, more decoys, boots, waiters, you name it. And usually that line to get in that store is unbelievable, but if you can get in there, that is one cool store to go check out. It's a one-stop shop. It really is.
So Dive Bomb is right next to Cabela's.
Yeah. So, like, right. It's part of the old mills. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure, like, the half they're on is where the old skate rink is, where the Blues used to practice and stuff.
Gotcha.
But it's a heck of a store. And they got good warranties on all their products and everything. And but man, it's a huge turnout. I mean, even if you don't care anything about Dive Bomb, go see the vendors.
Yeah,
there's a lot of vendors there from all across country.
Okay.
And then they got some calling competitions. They got a big duck contest. I'll probably compete in that on Saturday. We'll see how things go there and see if we can't do any good in that.
I'm sure, man. I'm sure. Good luck with that.
Appreciate it.
That's awesome. So You have the Squad Fest this weekend. Yeah,
next weekend I'll be in Des Moines, Iowa. We got the Delta Waterfowl. Delta's got a cool show, man, and I like how they spread it out. So each year it's in a different location.
All right.
A couple years ago we went down to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Oklahoma City, and then this year it's in Des Moines, Iowa, which I feel like is going to be huge because that's pretty centrally located for everybody, you know. I think it's going to be a big one.
Okay.
And then what do we got after that? We'll be in Memphis for the Ducks Expo. It's a Ducks Unlimited show.
Okay.
They got one. And then we got a couple weeks of game fair in Minnesota.
Okay. With
the first weekend in Minnesota, we'll have some pro staffers there running the booth. We'll be there the second weekend. Reason being, my dad, Jeff Foles, he just got inducted in the getting ready to get inducted in the Legends Hall of Fame. So we're gonna be down in Springfield, Missouri, watching him get in the Hall of Fame.
That's incredible.
I think it's him, Paul Butsky, he's a big turkey guy.
I've
looked up to him, and then Ted Nugent.
No way.
Absolutely. Nuge is gonna be there too.
You're gonna meet the Nuge.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I met him one time when he used to hunt Calhoun years ago in Campsville Landing.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a trip.
Yeah. So that's been huge for us. That's well-deserved. Well-deserved. Been a long time coming. So, and then
that's amazing.
I think we got a couple more shows after that, but they're not coming off the top of the head right now.
Right. Well, you got enough on your plate.
Yeah. So we're going to be on the road a little bit. But in the meantime, we've already got a pretty good jump start on it. We're going to be trying to get all these duck blinds brushed and everything ready for the next season, this upcoming season.
Right. So. Right. Which, let's take another break real quick. Yeah. Hear a word from the sponsors. I want to come back and talk about some of that. Welcome back to the WJBM Outdoor Show, brought to you by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. We're coming to you from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple, kill big deer. And I help buyers and sellers as an agent with land and home real estate. And the whole time I was saying that, I couldn't look at our guest, Cole Foyles, because I was going to start laughing.
I was trying to not distract you one bit because I could see it coming.
Oh, man. So before we went to break, and what we were talking about in the first part of the show, you've been just busting it with preparation.
Yeah.
I've seen snaps from Mosier.
Yeah, he was out helping the other day.
Okay. Yeah. So how many blinds do you have to brush?
You know, it just depends on the water and the year and everything. Gosh, there's been years we've got 14, 15 blinds ready. I think we got 10 counting the pits this year. We got to get ready. And
okay.
Got three knocked out so far. So we got to jump on it.
Okay.
We're going to try to knock another one out Sunday. But a lot of brushing, man. A lot of brush.
Yeah, I guess you got first dibs on the willows this early.
Yeah. I think I was I might have been one of the first to start brushing this year, which I think we are every year. But I get a lot of people like, man, you start early. I said, you just put it on heavy, and you know, I'm in a different scenario than most, where guys got one or two blinds. I got
I got state blinds that we have, you know, me and the buddies go to or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then we also got a lot of private blinds that we guide hunts out of. And then with all these trade shows and getting calls out and dog training, like, I got to take every free chance I can get.
Right.
I got kind of a rule. I'll get through 4th of July celebrations and all that, and then it's time to go.
Okay.
Because next thing you know, September's here. And then what's right after that? Duck season in no time.
Mm-hmm.
So...
it flies.
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, July is, I can't believe we're halfway through it already.
June came and went, like.
Yeah, it did. It did.
I want to know what happened to the other 3 weeks of June.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. But no, man. Yeah, I've been getting ready, kind of pile of willows. I got another blind we brushed, slab blind. You hunted that. Sits in a. Pay attention to your surroundings. You know, willows is a great tool no matter where you're at for these duck blinds. But we did something a little different. That slab blind's got 2 or 3 years of brush already on it. You know, it's faded and whatever. Well, that blind sits in a big old line of pin oaks. So we decided this year we're not putting anything but pin oaks on it. So we cut 5-6 trailer loads of that and got it all brushed in. That thing is gone. It is disappeared.
Really?
It looks slick, man.
That's
it
awesome.
It looks slick. Yep.
So are you using like branches or are you cutting smaller saplings?
So a little bit of both. Starting out, I'll go big around the walls, the sides, the back, the front, and but the filling, the holes. I'll cut smaller branches and stuff. You think, gosh, it's going to take a million of them, but man, those pin oaks don't give much and they like to hang on everything. So you start big and kind of get your base going, but then fill in with all that little stuff. Just makes life a lot easier putting them where you want to put them, you know. And then I'll use a lot of small ones on the roof, put a couple big ones and fill in with a bunch of small on the roof, because there is a lot of opportunities to shoot over the back as well. And if you got it too high, you're good and covered, but you can't get a shot, you know. So a lot of guys think when they put a blind facing whatever way, we're shooting this way every time. I'm not going to lie. If I got a chance over the back, I really like that shot.
Yeah.
So I want guys to be prepared for 360, you know.
Yeah. The thing about pin oaks, man, they're prickly.
Yeah. Oh, when you get done brushing in pin oaks, you look like you got in a fight with a mountain lion.
Yeah.
I mean, my legs are just tore up right now, my arms. They take a little extra. And we'll use them on a lot of blinds. We willow, too. We'll cut couple boatloads of pin oak right before season.
Uh-huh.
And it just kind of breaks it up. Instead of every blind looking like a willow blind,
right,
you can kind of break it up, make it look more natural. But then the willows, we use pretty well all willows for bundles. I see so many guys, they brush a blind in good, but they don't cut any bundles for their holes. And ducks look up here looking down, they see a pie face sitting in there, they might flare off of that. So I like to have a lot of brush. I mean, not every day you have a full blind too, so you can take some of them bundles and fill in the holes that people aren't hunting, you know. And that just takes some of that black hole, they're looking for the boogeyman down there, you know what I mean?
Right. So how you use zip ties to make your bundles?
Yeah, I use zip ties, and I'll give a financial tip on getting your zip ties.
I was just going to say.
Go to Harbor Freight and get them. I mean, you can get them at Farm and Home, but go to Harbor Freight. You can buy like 100 pack for like $2.
Really?
And then you can buy like a dozen pack of those great big ones if you want to zip. If you got dividers, you can zip tie your grass or willows or whatever on there. But yeah, I buy 500-600 zip ties a year at least.
Right.
And save a lot of money. Go to Harbor Freight, and they're durable too. It's not like you're getting junk or anything. They hold up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's good thinking. You ever take your dogs out there when you're brushing, or do they take up a little space?
It just depends where we're at, you know. Yeah. If majority of our blinds are on the lake or like the slab, for instance, it's got ground behind it, water. I'll take them for that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, river not so much because there's not a lot of places for them to go.
Okay.
You know. But, I'll let him, especially if you got a young pup, take him out a couple times, let him get used to the surroundings, make sure he's using the dog box good, all that good stuff.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, I ain't against taking him out there, that's for sure.
All right. Yeah, To me, they just love the experience.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, them, those dogs sit in a pen or whatever. They're all cooped up. Let them out. Let them go do something. And some might not think so, but I truly do. You're out there working, and they're running around the duck hole. They're learning every nook and cranny in that place. Just getting used to it, you know. Or opening day, you're not so nervous to take your dog, you know, and you're like, gosh, I don't know how he's going to perform, he ain't ever been in here. Well, you did that. He's probably been in there a dozen times, you know.
Right. Yeah. They're smart. They see you grab the boots.
Oh, yeah.
They know. You're going to leave me?
Yeah.
I'm going to stare right through you.
And I'm a big dog lover, man. I only took one of my dogs with me when I was getting some work done over in Calhoun, and so the other one was still in the pen. And I usually take them both, like I said. And I'm like, gosh, he's probably so mad at me. But I was taking the one so he'd be totally focused. We were working on some hand signal stuff.
Okay.
And I didn't want the other one to be there too. But anyway.
We'll take you next time, buddy.
Yeah, I made sure to give him an extra treat when we got back to the house.
right. Well, it's so hot out.
I know.
I can't bring Reuben anywhere right now.
I know it.
Wow. Speaking of dogs, how's training going?
Good. Been doing a few. I ain't been quite as busy as I was last year. Just a lot more going on this year with the shows and everything.
Yeah.
But Rock Dog, probably sometime by the end of the summer, I'm moving it to Calhoun. I'm going to put it over at the shop.
Really?
So that's another reason I've been waiting to get real busy. But I've been training a few.
Okay.
Yeah, I want everything to be together so I can train dogs, work on calls, go out, train dogs again, and then be done, you know, everything right there instead of running all over the earth, you know.
Right.
But yeah, we're in the works of that. Just got all the pens moved and everything. So that's exciting.
That's cool.
And I love being at home. So I like working them. And let's just face it, when you're in Calhoun, you are 5 minutes from any pond or river or creek you want to go work them in.
Yeah.
So, and the more places you can take them and show them, the better, because they're going to hunt a lot of different scenarios. So I think that'll be good for the training and everything too. But no, I've been doing a few this summer. I got a couple return dogs that I did last year that all had real good seasons. Now we're doing a little more advanced stuff, hand signals, whistle training, stuff like that. It takes a lot of patience, man, you know, because they're learning it. But you start, just like anything, start low and work your way up, you know.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that a lot is, like, start, instead of throwing one clear across the pond or the field or whatever, throw it 10 yards, 15 yards next week, 20 yards, and just keep going, you know?
Right.
You know, but been doing that. And then I just got a new pup in. It's actually a ringer's pup.
Okay.
So he's getting ready for his first season. But I've had a lot of tune-up dogs this year, a lot of hand signal stuff. So, man, it's a lot of work, you know, getting them to understand when you hit that one peep on a whistle that they got to stop and look, and then take a left or a right or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's, it's been real fun. Like I said, there's days you're like, what are you doing? But the next day when they hit it perfect, you're like, here we go. We're the same way when we're learning stuff.
Right. Sleeping on it's a real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I literally, if a dog has a bad day, I'll lay in bed at night thinking what I can do to get him better the next day, to understand it better.
Right.
And 9 out of 10, simplify. Like I said, you went out 25, 30 yards, and he just turned into Dum Dum City. Bring it back in. Let me get his confidence up, and then go back out.
It's Dum Dum City when they're like, you know, it's hot outside. We can go outside and it's hot.
That's another tip I'm going to give this
they're
time.
They're swimming
out.
Around. Yeah. Like, this is too nice.
Another thing in this heat. If you're working your dog 30, 45 minutes regularly, maybe in this heat, let's take it down to 15 or 20. You know, them dogs. They'll get hot too and wore out quick. So keep it fun. But no, it's been good. Like I said, I just got this pup in, and he's been here. He's going on day three, and it's amazing how much he's learning already. But it's fun. But the biggest thing, like I said, don't jump too far ahead. Don't skip steps.
Yeah.
One step at a time.
Okay.
But I'll be excited to get in a blind with that dog this year and see how he does. But like I said, I got a couple more tune-ups, one other puppy coming this year, and hopefully I'll have good seasons this fall.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, you good track record from last year. That's
it was rewarding for me as it was for the owners to see that they did that good, you know.
Yeah.
So hopefully we got a good thing going and keep it going.
All right. So what's the plan when you go back to the kennels? You already have a list lined up, or where are you at in terms of training?
Honestly, it blew my mind when I got into this last year how many people's looking for trainers, because the ones we got good ones around the area, but a lot of them, they're good and people know it. They're backed up. So there's a lot of people looking. I've had several calls, and not just within the area, other states. And
okay.
I don't think we're going to have a problem booking up, that's for sure.
All right. If you that's do have sure. some openings, give them some information on how to get a hold of you.
Just give me a call or a text. It's 618-535-9899. I'm Cole Foyles, Rock Dog Retrievers.
And world champion of the world.
Yeah.
All right. Any
just
other?
Had to throw that in there.
Well, if you have a legit world championship, I gotta throw the of got the it. World so people know that
we got a few trophies taking serious. Up space on the wall. That's for sure.
That's awesome. All right. Cool. Well, dude, thanks for coming.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Always. Anytime.
I don't know how many times this has been now, but we can do it this many more times.
I know. We're going to keep it rolling.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, man. You have a good one.